Welcome to Myrtle Moms with Margaritas, the show where we sip cool drinks, talk about hot topics, and certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. Grab your favorite beverage, give your children the iPads, and take a break. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom. And we are here live. John is actually beside us, but he does not have a microphone. So producer John is here helping us get squared away.
Yes, yes, yes. It is a gorgeous day out here today.
It is. This is true chilly festival
and we
weather.
Actually had sweatshirts on earlier.
Yes, it was amazing.
So we're happy about that. And
yes.
Now the sun is out and it's beautiful.
It is. And we are here for the community chili cook-off, which we are actually cooking for the charity Substitutes for Santa, which is a charity that our young professionals group, several of us came together 15 plus years ago to create this charity, and it provides around 100 to 150 local children here in our community a Christmas experience.
Which is so great.
Right? So the kids actually get to go to Fun Warehouse, which is a local attraction here. Mm-hmm. They get to pair up with a volunteer, and then after they get to eat some pizza, play some games, run around, then we take them over to Walmart. They get a $100 gift card. And get to go shopping for Christmas items.
And the best part is they also get like
swag.
So they can actually buy gifts and just
toilet paper and shampoo and conditioner.
Yes.
So it's such a wonderful cause. GSYP, the Young Professionals Group, is now overseeing the particular program, and it is through SOS Charity. So we're just very fortunate to be a part of this and give back to our community and especially to our children. So hopefully first place.
I know. Cross our fingers.
That would be $2,500
right.
to kids.
That is a lot of kids
right?
this Christmas. So.
And last year we did get second place. Mm-hmm. We raised $1,000, which every little bit helps. So we were very excited about that. So
and it's our homemade chili recipe.
Exactly.
Shannon and I are part of the cooking team.
We are. It's the Chamber Chili Chicks.
Yep.
So it's Jen and I, and we have Sandy and Cindy who work for the Chamber, and we were all the ones that did it last year and came back to take the title.
And so what did you add, Shannon? What would you say your contribution to the recipe was?
Well, of course, I love the vegetables. I was the one who, I think it was myself, who said turkey. And I've always used turkey meat in my chili. And we do have someone on our team that doesn't like meat. Mm-hmm. She will do turkey meat, but she doesn't like actual, you know, like hamburger meat. So that's what we did last year. And you put in a little touch that I've never even heard about for chili.
So almost all my red bay sauces, I just add a little ketchup because I like the sweetness of ketchup added to the sauces. So we have ketchup in our chili sauce.
Ketchup in the chili.
Yep.
And of course, love some garlic. Got some garlic in there.
Mm-hmm.
Salt and pepper, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, it's delicious. And carrots.
Carrots add the sweetness, right? So our recipe is on the sweeter side.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
We did a little tiny bit of hot sauce just to have a
little heat.
But we don't want it too spicy because we do not want Jen to go in labor here at the chili cook-off because unfortunately, viewers, you cannot see her right now, but it is any day.
It is go time.
We are starting to do a pull, and I am saying my date is in 2 days. So here we go, Nolan.
Yeah, exactly. But we're feeling okay. We're feeling good, tired, but ready to go.
Awesome.
I'm ready to meet Nolan.
We are too.
Yes.
We've known about him for, it seems like, forever.
I know.
But just excited. Mm-hmm. Jen looks amazing. She's sparkling.
Thank you.
And
Thank you. You
can definitely tell, though. She's like, all right, it's time to let's get this show on the road.
I will say, one thing that's been really exciting about the end of this pregnancy is everyone said I've kind of had the glow. I haven't had to put makeup on. I've saved myself so much money because I'm like, well, I look good when I look in the mirror. So I'm not wasting my money on makeup.
Girlfriend, that's amazing. I didn't realize that because it does, like, you look like you have makeup
on. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm a little jealous here.
Yeah. Hope that the skin cares continue after pregnancy.
Amen.
All right. Should we introduce our guest?
She is set
up and ready to go.
She is.
We are so excited.
Yes.
We have Johanna Wilson-Jones has been traveling up and down the Grand Strand tasting the foods that make Myrtle Beach restaurants hum. becoming an expert on the region's flavors. Johanna is also the host of Finding Our Flavor YouTube show, which is presented by Visit Myrtle Beach, where she highlights the ingredients, foods, and dishes that make Myrtle Beach unique. However, she is also a judge on the new show, Cooking Channel's most recent release, Chef Swap at the Beach. Welcome.
Thank you, Jen and Shannon. It's a
yes.
pleasure to be here.
Yes. Isn't this perfect chilly weather, by the
perfect
way?
Perfect chilly weather, but unlike you beautiful ladies, I forgot my shades at home, so I'm
oh,
like
no.
sweating.
Oh, no. Do we got
I'm
some
like,
Visit Myrtle
like,
Beach shades over here?
I can't see. Put it up a little bit. Okay, all right. So I can't see. I can see you, I can't lie, uh-huh. but I'm just like squinting in the sun, but I'm going to power on through.
Yes.
Well, darn, I was trying to see if we had some Visit Myrtle Beach sunglasses
yeah.
over here.
We can dig up some sunglasses for sure.
Yes.
No doubt. John's on it. Look,
yes.
Producer John's on it.
Producer John is always
yes.
on top of things.
So by the time this episode or this recording goes live, we will be in the middle of Chef Swap at the Beach
wow.
season.
Yeah. Okay.
So we want to know, what was your experience like on the show?
Oh, my goodness. It was phenomenal. Okay, first of all, you know, I have, like, been, like, on camera before, like, mm-hmm. for short interviews and end-up interviews from a reporter's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something totally different to be a part of a huge TV production. I mean, everybody on set was, like, top-notch professionals.
John's on it.
Yeah,
look at here.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I feel groovy. I feel
yeah,
like I
love it.
I
like it.
Yeah, like I'm all 1980s. I
right?
love it. Thank you, John. And so, you know, so being on the show, it was just fantastic because, like, the people on set were people who had been, like, on productions like Survivor, the mm-hmm. Olympics, you know, shows that receive high ratings. These are seasoned professionals. Some were actors. So being there was, like, unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
And so then, you know, to have the pleasure to work with Amanda Freitag, who happens to be one of my favorite judges, food judges, period, right?
Oh, she's wonderful,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, she is so down to earth and
yeah.
humble, you know?
And so you knew about her before
yeah.
taping. You had seen her background and things like that.
I am a Food Network
okay.
Cooking Channel junkie, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you see these hip girls? Okay, I love food. I'm married to an executive chef. I grew up around food. I mean, food has been, it's for nourishment, but also for enjoyment. It's just, it was one of those like foodie dreams come true
uh-huh.
to be on a show with such great talent,
mm-hmm.
with an individual who's one of my favorite food people in the food globe, Amanda
yes.
Freitag.
Yes.
So it was just a blessing. I said, thank you, Jesus. Such a blessing. Seriously.
That's so wonderful. Yeah.
That is very cool. What kind of judge were you? Were you yeah. a Simon Cowell or were you more?
Oh, no.
I can't
no.
see that out of
no.
you at all.
Just now meeting you, I don't see that.
No, Jen and Shannon, I promise you. I'm a constructive, kind judge. You
uh-huh.
know,
yes.
I am a person. You know, I've never liked judges. Even when I used to do my restaurant critiques and food writing for the Sun News, I never was a mean-spirited critique.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you honest critiques. I'm a believer that you can tell someone that you didn't like something, that you didn't enjoy something, instead of saying, this sucks, never do this again.
Exactly.
You don't come back here. The food is awful. You know, chefs, like everybody else, have off days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no
mm-hmm.
one's 100% fantastic all the time, okay? So it's a thing
yeah.
where you give people passes. So I would always, like, even when I did my restaurant reviews, I would go to a restaurant several times. If it was bad,
mm-hmm.
I would not go back again. I'll just write with you, you know, because
mm-hmm.
if the service was bad, the food was bad, it's just bad, I'm not going back there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's like an off day. I'll go and check it out a few times and then
yeah.
write my review. So that's how I took those things into consideration
uh-huh.
when tasting the food. Now, honestly, because I've been here so long, I've been here since 1993, I've eaten a lot of this food before.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
Yes.
I've eaten a lot of this food before. So, you know, I had the pleasure since I got here of, like, knowing Heidi Vukoff and
uh-huh.
Mike Chestnut and... They're phenomenal
they
chefs,
are.
Okay?
They're
we're
staples.
So lucky to have them
you know,
both.
That's the
in
truth.
Our
we're so blessed. I
we
mean,
are.
They were among two of the chefs competing, but they were just phenomenal, and the food was so good. So it was like sitting there, it's like choosing between magna cum laude and summa cum laude. Both of them are great, you know?
Exactly.
Summa cum laude is the top, but magna is just darn good. So
right.
That's
yeah.
how it was. It was just, like I said, it was a blessing to be a part of it, actually.
That's so wonderful.
Great to hear. You know, we're... I'm sure we'll be watching, so
we'll
see your judging style.
Yeah,
yes.
I try to keep it real. I'm a very down-to-earth country
mm-hmm.
girl, born in New York City, but a very much country girl. And so, you know, I try to judge in a way and share my opinions mm-hmm. that's relatable. Mm-hmm. So I don't use a lot of fancy language. I mean, even though I have a lexicon with a lot of fancy words, yeah. I like just keeping it real. So if you're 90 or 9 or, you know, even 5 years old like my niece are, you can understand what I'm saying and what I like and dislike about the food.
We love that because I'm only in first and second grade right now. So I love the fact that you're doing it like that. And not to mention the fact, the cooking channel, my husband, I think he has that channel on 24/7 if Clemson's not playing. So,
okay,
you know.
Yeah.
So we're ecstatic. We can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great for the restaurants involved and the entire Grand Strand because we get opportunity to finally showcase on a national level all the
right.
great food and the chefs we have in. And the restaurants, our restaurants, our Canoa says they're top tier.
Yeah.
You know, now, like I said, I grew up down south, but I've traveled around the world. And I'm telling you, like, our restaurants can stick with the best of them.
Yeah.
You know?
And we have 2,000 of them.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
In our little area.
Yeah. Exactly. In our small area. So we have more restaurants per capita than places like Italy. So isn't that crazy?
Wow.
New York City.
Yeah.
That's like
that's
crazy.
Amazing.
But I mean, per capita, we have all these eateries for our divine mm-hmm. enjoyment. And we have so many different offerings. So, I mean, you come here, you can't say you leave without tasting something you wanted.
Yes. That's the truth.
So what's a, you're a visitor coming in, what's a can't miss restaurant?
Oh, okay, now. I'm going to try to think of some. Okay, so all the ones on the show are can't miss.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so those are without a doubt.
Right, right.
Now, other places, I would say, now, if you like fast food, you've got to visit Fowler's Grill in Laura, South Carolina.
Okay.
Really?
Some of the,
I haven't been there.
Of the best down-home just burgers, fries, good grease. They fry the hot dogs.
Oh.
They fry like a little shallow pan of grease. They fry the hot dogs.
Good. Yum.
The chili is house made every day. They get it from the grocery store next door.
Okay.
And they make it fresh every day. So you got to go to Fowler's Grill. It's like some good hot dogs.
Okay.
Also here right in town, Berkey's Grill owned by Wade Burkhart.
I love Berkey's. Yes.
Berkey's is good stuff. You know what I'm saying? They have the annual car show. It's just good local stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want more upscale dining stuff, you know, like, okay, personally, okay, I said no restaurants on the show, but hey, I am a huge fan of Hook and Barrel. Hottest place.
Agreed.
Okay, girl. Those braised short ribs.
Uh-huh.
Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
The bacon.
Yeah.
The bacon appetizer.
You can't go wrong with bacon, right? You can't go wrong with bacon.
Good. Bacon goes with everything.
Hello. Bacon goes with everything, right? And then, you know, also, I just love good food, period. But definitely, if I said another fine dining place, it's not on the show, too. Perone's and Bistro 217.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just good stuff, you know? But we have we have so many different places you can come in. I mean, soul food.
Yes.
Big Mike's.
Yeah.
Country cooking. Magnolias.
Magnolias.
Hello.
Right. Now that's a true staple as well.
You know what I'm saying? My mom, bless her soul, she transitioned from earth to heaven earlier this year. And my mom, every time she came here, she was like, my nickname is Joy for my family. So she said, Joey, we are going to Magnolias, aren't we?
Of course.
I said, sure we are, Mom. We're going to Magnolias. And so we
what
go
day
to
of the week does she like the best? Because, you know, each day has their special.
Well, you know what? It didn't matter.
Really,
it didn't matter. But let me tell you something now. Their llama beans are thebomb.com, right? And like, a good friend of mine, she's like a second brother to me, Rose Rock, Chris Rock's mom, she loves their llama beans. So we would go there like and eat all the llama beans we could and the fried chicken. It's just, you can't go wrong. It's just so much good food here for someone who is a foodie or a culinary connoisseur like myself.
Yes.
You, it's just, the thing about the Grand Strand is that we have food, great restaurants, which are owned by locals. That's what I love about it. You know,
and a variety.
You know what I'm saying? Sea Captain's House, Big Mike's, Heidi's Place. You know, we have so many places around here. Fowler's Greer, Rivertown Bistro, Donzel's in Conway, Country Cooking. All this stuff you have here is owned by locals who care about food.
Right.
And like, you know,
and care about the community.
Yeah.
Yes, and they're very much well in sync and entwined in the community.
Right.
And food, like, you know, my mom taught me this as a little girl. It's like when you are cooking from a place of love, food is definitely, but my mom's cooking especially, was her love letter. Every meal was a love letter to us, okay? Every meal, be it breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And so when you're cooking for people you love, or people you don't even know, it's your personality on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you care about your personality and good character, you would put your best out there. And that's what the chefs here doing the Grand Strand, and that's definitely what the chefs did on the show. Chef swap at the beach for
I just can't wait to watch this show.
I know.
This is
exciting.
I love it.
So it sounds like your mom was very involved in the food as well. Is that kind of what led you in the direction to get involved into this sphere of chefs and food and in that environment?
Oh, for certain, Jen, for certain. Mm-hmm. My mom, her name was Catherine Wilson. We grew up in the country on Orangeburg County in this small, teeny community called Boyer.
My husband's from Springfield.
Get out of here. But now, this is what it is. So listen.
Okay.
Country. So, you know, now, and I grew up in a time where the area I lived in Boyer, it's a small community out of Holly Hills, South Carolina, in Orangeburg County. So it's like we're like almost smack middle in between Columbia and Charleston, okay?
Gotcha.
And so the thing is that back then, even all our roads were dirt roads. And so I grew up in a community where my family produced a lot of food they ate. So growing up, we had, like, you know, my aunt had chickens. We raised hogs. We had a huge garden. So, with a lot of our vegetables, everything from, like, cucumber to collard greens to mustard kale, any kind of green, plus okra and corn. We had plums that grew wild and blackberries and raspberries. So, literally, I would come home from school. My mom would have something on the stove from our garden. You know, my Aunt Helen, who lived across the street, she was a great cook herself. And so I would come over to school. She said, "Do you want something sweet?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, go and pick up some blackberries, and I'll make you a blackberry dumpling or a blackberry cobbler." So
I have a
plastic bucket, true story, and I would go outside and pick up blackberries from the woods, wild blackberries, and come back inside, and she would make me fresh blackberry dumpling or blackberry cobbler.
Wow.
You know, so my mother, my grandmothers, my dad, he wasn't so much like one of those cooks that would be in the kitchen. I mean, why be in the kitchen? You got your fine wife cooking your meals.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And it sounds like she's an amazing cook.
She was an amazing cook. So my dad would just come home and chill after his 12-hour shifts and enjoy the food, but he could cook. But yeah, I would just stand by my mother's side, my grandmother, Virginie Brown. We called her Big Annie because she was the oldest aunt of the aunts, but she would cook. She would go, listen, she would fish like anywhere from like 3 to 5 times a week. She loved fishing, right?
Okay.
And her favorite fish was brim. So she would catch a bunch of brim, bring them back home, and almost every single morning for breakfast, she would make me fried brim, grits, and stewed tomatoes on top.
Wow.
And it was delicious. Yeah. I mean, like, the freshness of tomatoes out your garden. And
that's
she
the best.
That is
you can't, you know,
the
I mean,
best.
We would pick them like plums. I mean, Jen, Shannon, we would go outside and pick them off the bush and just say, you know, God bless the germs,
then
the worms.
Yep, you're good.
Bite into it. That was our little prayer. And we would just eat it right from the garden.
Can you say that again? That's so cute.
Oh, God bless the germs, devil eat the worms. That's how we would say it. That's our little prayer.
That is
it.
Just, love it.
Just,
amazing.
It was delicious. Delicious.
Yeah. My little guy Colton loves tomatoes.
Yes.
I could not be happier. I mean, we go through cases of the little cherry tomatoes. And he pops them in his mouth and that's his
snack.
Go-to. Yeah, exactly.
They're good for you.
They
Lots
are.
Lipocine, antioxidants, it's just good for you.
Right.
It is.
Vitamin C, yeah, I can eat tomatoes all day long.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you learning to cook from your mom? Pretty much since you were walking?
I don't know when I started walking, but I would tell you this, though. I remember being as young as 4, being by her side in the kitchen, you know, helping her and my grandma cook. My grandma was a master baker. Now, she didn't go to culinary, but her baking level was up there. Like, people who did, like, you know, like, learn these skills. And she would cook what we call, you ever heard of jelly cakes?
No.
Okay, so jelly cakes are basically, now, let me tell you something about my grandma and my mama. You would never, if you had any sense, bring any kind of box cake into the kitchen.
Gotcha.
Like, if you brought Duncan Hines or Betty Crocker,
you'd be in trouble.
You might as well go ahead and get your switch outside, take off the leaves, because you're about to get your little tail torn up. It's like an insult. It's like disrespecting your elders.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my grandma would make jelly cakes. It was like these thin layers of homemade batter scratches, like a slightly sweet cake, but very thin layers, like a little bit, I'll say that, maybe about 3 times thicker than a crepe, if you can imagine that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very thin layers. And she would make like 8 layers of these thin, thin sheets of cake. And then between each layer, she would put like grape jelly, or some sort of jelly. So we also had like muscadine grapes, so sometimes you make homemade jellies. You put a thin layer in each one, and then you cut this cake, guys. Oh my goodness, you have these thin, airy layers with the sweetness of the jelly. It was divine.
Mm.
And we would always crave that cake. Let me tell you something. My grandma was such a good baker that even her fruit cakes were holly lolly. You know, fruit cakes.
Wow.
Like the
now that says something.
You know what I'm saying? Because fruit cakes are like the Jeffrey Dahmer cakes.
Correct.
They're murderous. You know, who wants fruit cake?
Yeah.
But
right.
I'm telling you, so her fruit cakes were so good that she would actually make like each family, like so everybody in our community was family, right? So she would make my aunt, who had one kid, like make her like, she would make like 2 cakes for her, maybe 3 cakes for us, but each family got a certain ratio of cakes based upon their family number.
Uh-huh.
So the deal was, once you got your kicks for, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, you could not get any more kicks. So my aunt, no kidding, my aunt Virginia Townsend, I'm saying your name, Aunt Virginia, so people know you are.
Uh-oh.
She would actually lock up her fruit cakes in like a little safe because people would come in and steal her fruit cake.
Oh.
And because she knew you only got like once or twice a year, you would try to conserve it as, you know, as long as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, so going back to the question about my mom, you know, so those are the kind of things I remember. Being by my grandma's side when she would bake, being at my mom's side when she would make like her pepper steak, mm-hmm. her mac and cheese, her Hop and John. You guys know what Hop and John is,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yes, mm-hmm. the rice and cow peas. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, cow peas are one of the peas that the slaves brought from Africa, along with, you know, Bene seeds and okra and yams. And so the actual, the cow peas, when you cook them, they have the water turn a really dark, dark, beautiful golden brown.
Correct.
And so you mix it together with the cooked rice and you put your seasonings in. Hop and John was something that every family in our area,
mm-hmm.
We're all influenced by the Gullah Geechee color, mm-hmm. the culture, you know. So, you know, from Jacksonville, North Carolina to Jacksonville, Florida, and 50 miles inland, the descendants of the West African slaves, you call it the Gullah Geechee. And so I'm definitely Gullah Geechee. And my mom would make the Hop and John every year for New Year's because that was a sign of good luck, good fortune.
Yes.
And basically, yep. good blessings from the Lord.
Exactly.
You know, collard greens for money. So mm-hmm. you always cook collards. Collards for the money. So the Hop and John for good blessings and the collard greens for money. And so those are traditions I grew up in. So I probably cooked my first whole meal by myself at 8.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I cooked meatballs with homemade spaghetti and garlic bread and a garden salad, and they loved it. That's my first meal by myself at 8.
Wow. I love it. Yes. I love it. That's right? Amazing.
That is.
So were family, I assume meals in your family where everybody was sitting around the table and it was an experience. It wasn't just a rush home and let's eat dinner and get on with the rest of the evening,
no,
right?
You know, and that's something I think kids nowadays unfortunately miss out on because
they
so many kids are latchkey kids, you know, they mm-hmm. latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was growing up, my mom had the blessing of being a stay-at-home mom. So there was always a parent there, and when we came home from school, you know, my dad was at work, but we always at dinner together. And she would sit around the table and linger. We would eat mom's good cooking,
mm-hmm.
and we would talk about dad's day at work, my sister and my day at school, my mom's day at home, and we would just linger. And then on Wednesday nights was always our special night as a family. So we have a dinner, and instead of saying maybe stay for 2 or 3 hours at the table, we would stay like 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then we would take a movie. Seriously, we would take a movie. We would talk.
Yeah.
And listen, if you think I can talk, I come from a loquacious family, okay? We're all great talkers. And I probably talk some of the least, seriously. So we all
Trying to get in.
Everybody's getting in. But we know we're respectful. We listen.
Yeah.
We let people talk. And so we would just sit around and we would talk and look at a good movie and discuss the movie and talk about the food. Ooh, okay. My dad be like, oh, you know, they call a cat for sure. He was like, cat, that was good, but the grits was a little bit runny, honey. Just a little bit, just a tad. And she's like, oh, okay, you know. And so we would have, like, artist talks about the food. And,
uh-huh.
you know, because, you know, think about this. Food is the one thing that can bring people together regardless
so
of their religious
so
beliefs,
true.
Their political views.
Exactly.
You know, throughout my life, you know, food has been such a mainstay. You know, yes, it's for nourishment and survival, but food has been like a salve. Like, I remember, unfortunately, this is one of several times, but one time, one of my best friends and I, we had a horrible argument. And in that argument, you know how you say things in your anger, you don't really mean it. She said some things, and it were very hurtful. So we didn't speak for a while, but, you know, we both knew that we loved each other, and we didn't want to throw away years of friendship. And so, but, you know, at that time as well, we know that certain words, and even though we were both wordsmith, we said, you know, this is a tender times. If I said the wrong thing, it might just make it worse. But what happened was, I said, well, I'm going to cook her a meal. So I cooked her sun-dried tomato rice, French green beans, barbecue chicken. I made, like, a salad, and I made, like, apple crisp. I called her up, and even though what we couldn't say in word, as we ate together, mostly in silence, at the end of that meal, we had bonded even stronger than before, and we said our sorries. And so my food, that dinner spoke for me when I didn't know what to say exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed her to open up and break down those walls and heal. And so food is very healing, it's very powerful, and it's very passionate.
Correct.
And that's why I've always thought of ways to bring people together around food.
There's a reason that after funerals, you get together around food and drink.
Come on now.
That's so true,
listen,
right?
Yeah. Like, Of course.
Weddings, right. Baby yes. showers.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
You
I
know
mean,
what did Jesus do? He had the Last Supper. He could have.
Exactly.
Right? He had his disciples come together around a meal. He could have talked to them like, yo, bro, let's say this before I go. But he had a meal.
He had a meal.
And had, so I think it's very powerful when God himself does that. So yeah, food is something that connects us. You know, it makes us stronger. It educates us about each other's culture.
It does.
Our likes, our dislikes. And so it's like a smorgasbord that everybody can come to the table and have something to contribute and see.
Yes. Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Well, it already sounds like we kind of know a little bit more of your style of cooking. That was actually one of our questions to learn about. And we learned so much. I'm ready for you to like help me how to cook in the kitchen, because I'm one of those that, I hate to say it, I'm one of those that gets home and it is trying to get dinner done as fast as we can, because whether it's sports, homework, everything else, you know, you are rushing around. One thing though we do, and our family do pride of ourselves, we make sure that we sit down as a family and eat at the table.
Amen.
Even if it's just cereal, you know, we're sitting down at the table and eating together.
Amen.
Because that you just said it. I mean, the amount of the wonderful conversations that you can have just mm-hmm. over food.
You find out so much about your children at
you
the
do.
Dinner. I don't have any children yet, but even there's something that Mama Rock said in her book about ways in which we like successful children. I got the exact title of it, but she was saying about how much influence she got just by sitting down and talking to her children. And that's key. And mm-hmm. you know, I applaud you, Shannon, and Jen, you. When you have a family, you have little kids, it's totally different. But there are ways to have good meals.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having like something hot, make yourself a big Mediterranean salad with yep. lots of cheese and tomatoes, put some grilled chicken on top. That's something you can sit down with some bread and have a conversation. You know, times are different.
Yeah.
Most moms and dads now, they work because yes. things are so expensive. So you can still make time for a good meal without spending a lot of time in the kitchen. So
exactly.
don't you wear yourself out, girlfriend.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Don't you do it. Don't you
yes,
do it.
Yes, and that salad sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm getting hungry over here.
Like, put some olives in it.
Yeah. Calamati olives, some feta cheese,
ooh, yeah.
some pickled onions.
All right.
Yes, you can hook that up, sister.
Yes. All right.
You're making me so hungry.
Right? Well, we're both, our tummies are growling.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are live here at the chili cook-off. So what recipe would you make in a chili recipe?
I heard you ladies talking earlier. You know
uh-huh.
what?
Yeah.
I love chili,
mm-hmm.
and I make chili well, but it's not something I make a lot of,
okay.
honestly. Because let me tell you something, and don't laugh, it's true. I love beans, but beans do not like me.
Hey.
Okay?
So, I get it.
So, yeah, so, okay, this is when I was a little girl, my daddy would call me machine gun. Think of why. Okay, so with that being said, when I do cook chili, I do put my beans in and stuff, but I'm very mindful how much and try to take some bean oil before.
Mm-hmm.
But I love chili with lean ground beef or like top sirloin,
uh-huh, okay.
like a ground up in there. I'm a chili purist. So now, even though I've seen chili did in all kind of amazing ways, that tastes good. I've came here last year, I've tasted chili with bison in it, deer meat, all that kind of stuff, and I eat it all.
Mm-hmm.
I do not discriminate against meat, okay? So, you know, I bless it and I eat it. But I personally prefer like just a basic chili with a good bean, well-seasoned ground beef preferably of your choice, some spices, but you know, some onions, some garlic, but not too much anything else.
Mm-hmm,
I'm just
yeah.
a purist. But now I have eaten chili with all sorts of things in it. Because sometimes people get really creative. Like one time I remember I was at the Lawrence Boghoff doing a judging, and somebody put noodles in chicken bog.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm like,
not chicken bog.
Noodles?
What?
That
you,
is
you
not chicken
me?
Bog.
No.
Wasn't that horrible? And at first, I refused to eat it. They said, well, Johanna, you know, you're here as a judge, you have to taste it. I'm like, all right, Jesus, give me strength. And I tasted, but it was not. I'm like, listen, chicken bog is simple. It's a regional dish. Chicken,
yeah.
sausage, rice, you season it. You don't overdo it. You don't put spaghetti. You put spaghetti in it. It's something else, but it's not chicken
correct.
Bog.
No, correct.
Okay?
Yes.
It's like red said, I want to be white. You can't be white red because you're red.
Yeah.
You can't change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I mean now, but chili, you can be very inventive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said about the carrot thing. I've seen people do that for the sweetness of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also too, you know, people like to put different meats. I've tasted chili with bison and deer and meat in it together.
Yeah.
I've tasted chili with, you know, turkey and chicken in it.
Okay.
It's just all kind of things you can do with it because it's more room to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay,
yes.
So I won't knock anybody who makes good chili, whatever meat you want. You can make it with chitlins. If it tastes good, I eat it.
Oh.
How about that?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I eat chitlins too, girl. I don't discriminate, Shannon. I just don't.
You and my husband would get along so well.
I was going to say, too. So I have actually, when my mom makes her chili, she'll actually take the liquid gas X and put it right, cook it right into the chili.
Well, that's really a brave move. Would that come out with the flatulence?
It does. Yes, it helps.
I need
okay.
that.
All
thank
right.
you, Chef. Yes. Thank you, Jen. What's your mom's name?
Pat.
Thank you, Miss Pat, for that tip. I'm going to try that next time.
Yep, she will cook it right into the chili.
That makes sense. Really smart.
That's inventive.
Yes.
That's genius. Thank you, Miss Pat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tips for Miss Pat.
Year. Exactly.
Hey, thanks to Miss Pat. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, right? That's...
So one of our other questions for you was, obviously, we're moms on the go. What's a go-to easy meal that you cook in your house when it's you're just not feeling the whole cooking thing, but everybody loves it?
Okay, you know what? One of my favorite go-to meals that my family loves, that my husband loves, is spaghetti, because it's quick. You know, pasta is filling. Mm-hmm. It's even these crazy times when food is expensive, it's still an affordable meal. Mm-hmm. So regardless of your income bracket, you can come home. And you know, my best friend, Delisa Bracey, she just prefers her spaghetti with turkey meat. I've done turkey meat too. Yeah. But you know, I just prefer the fattiness and flavor that beef has in it. Mm-hmm. So I'll come home and I always like keep me some garlic in the fridge, always.
Yes.
Minced garlic. We keep onions. Yes. We go through bags of onions nobody's business. You know, red onion, yellow onion.
We were just talking earlier.
We literally were just talking about that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we don't stink because of the amount of garlic and onion that we eat daily.
Yeah, I'm always like doing the breath check.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But you know, but that's an easy go-to meal. And also, too, salads. Like I was saying earlier, mm-hmm. like, you know, just the other day, I've just made a salad, you know, with a bunch of feta cheese, pickled onions, grilled chicken, Kalamata olives, some balsamic vinaigrette, because it's fast and it's
mm-hmm,
filling.
Right.
Get you some bread. I love hummus, and you know, dip the bread in the hummus, and that's a meal. Another quick meal I think is really delicious, that just make yourself a simple soup.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy. I eat soup year-round, whether
me
it's hot or not.
Me too. Yeah, I am a soup too. Person through
you
and
know,
through.
But keep you some broth. You know, broth is cheap. Get you a big container of broth and, you know, have your veggies. And I always like have meat that I have already pre-seasoned in the freezer and take it out, let it thaw, and make you a quick soup.
Because
soups are hearty and you can always refreeze them. And
So,
soups are good. Spaghetti, salads.
Aren't some of the best meals when you look in your fridge and you're like, all right, what do I have in here that I can make a meal out
exactly.
of?
Exactly. Exactly.
Goes together.
Yes.
Exactly.
Where can I put it all in one place?
And ladies, let's not forget, you can always do breakfast for dinner. That's easy steal, you know?
We do that probably once a week at our house. My kids love sausage and bacon and eggs. And we're good.
Yes.
Last night we actually did that.
Hello. Okay, give
with
me
French,
some.
With
give
French
me some. Hello. Yes. It's always quick, you know, because how fast is eggs and grits and bacon and waffles? And kids can be so inventive with waffles, you know, making them plain or putting chocolate chips in, whatever they like, and serving them because, you know, I also taught. So in the school system, our cafeteria manager, she would always like make stuff that was easy for the kids to eat, finger food. But the kids also love having breakfast for lunch. So yeah, come home, you know, and listen, you can even get your egg or waffles. Who am I to judge, okay? It's food, and you can always dress it up with fresh fruit toppings.
There you go.
Okay?
Yeah.
Some fresh strawberries, some blueberries, just something great. Make you a simple, you know, pork sausage or turkey sausage. That's a really good turkey sausage out there, products now.
Yes.
And just make a simple, you know, breakfast for dinner.
Yep. And breakfast is one of those meals that, at least I found, it's easier to get your kids involved with the making of the whole thing.
Yes.
They love to crack eggs.
They love that.
Yes.
You know, it's that type of situation where everyone can be helped cooking the breakfast meal.
My kids actually love to make the pancakes.
There you go.
Yeah. Because
they're so
simple.
They've been making that for many years
now. Put those little jokers to work. Yeah.
Yes.
So the older, as you teach them to cook at a young age, when they get by the time, I'm serious, this is how I was. By the time I was 12, you know, I was cooking for meals. I mean, actually, all of my friends, this one friend of mine, her name is Deidre Lee. She's an educator in Richland County. I remember easily, Deidre had to be like 12, 13. We would go to her house for like Christmas and Thanksgiving. She would have cooked the entire meal. Turkey, dressing, chicken.
Yes.
She's still a phenomenal cook. But her parents, her mom, Naomi, taught her young. So Deidre was cooking when she was just a teeny weeny thing. And so it's like driving. No highway patrolman can arrest me for this comment. But in the country, you know, just like cooking, our parents taught us young. So even though I didn't have the license to drive, we would drive to my aunt's store, you know, 8:10, we could go out to the back roads and drive. So cooking is one of those things where kids can get involved and they can do it. And the simple stuff, like, you know, letting them make the eggs, you know, watching them, or stuff in the microwave, showing them, okay, 2 minutes, put this on.
Yeah.
You know, this is something, make some cereal, you know, just simple little things. And, you know, especially with baking and stuff, you know, kids can just learn the little basics. So yeah, put them to work. So when you get tired and other kids are older, you can sit down and relax, and let them cook for you.
Well, and not to mention the fact it's good for them to stay busy and keep them out of trouble.
Right.
So keeps them off the phones and the TVs and the tablets.
Yes. Exactly, the tablets, everything.
And it's English and math and algebra. Right? It's good stuff.
It's all of that.
You're in your ABCs and cooking for mommy.
Yes. And it gives mama a little bit of a break.
Yeah, you get those dads too. The dads break hard. Give the dads a break as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
You're just like so fun to talk to. I'm like speechless right now.
It's fun to talk to you ladies as well.
Yes.
I'm a people person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one thing wherever I go, like my husband says, he says, can we ever go out and come back without you stopping to talk to 10 people?
No.
And he'll think, he's like, did you know? I'm like, no, I just met her. He's like, but you were going on about the kids and her life and her trauma, and you just met, like, see, I just met her. And, you know, I think it's a gift, honestly, to be able to connect with people. And, you know, because you can love people, but maybe you're introverted and don't know how to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an extrovert, and I think my experiences, just how I grew up in the country around my family, and, you know, and my childhood trauma was that I was bullied, right? I went through a real bad period. I was bullied for a long time. And so that, you know, as I became an adult, I was super sensitive to that in my classroom if other kids were, like, maybe a danger to children by bullying. So it's a thing where I try to take everything I am, you know, a kid who survived bullying, a kid who was close to her, both her parents who've since gone on to the Lord, you know, a kid who grew up in a community that it was literally all family. My aunts, my great aunts, my uncles, my mom, my dad, my first cousins were my best friend, my sister. So I grew up where the community, the village did raise the child.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a time where if I went to school and my teacher would say anything to my mom about something she thought I did wasn't appropriate or whatever, my mom always, always, okay, sided with the teacher. She didn't care because back then we knew, okay, not only do we know the teacher, but listen, I know that whoever she or he is, they care about you, they love you, they have your degree, they have their degrees, you need to get yours, so you will listen. And if I find out later that the teacher did something that was disrespectful, then I will handle that. But you always say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you have honor for authority. And that's something I think that we've lost a lot these days, but
that is the
that's
truth.
How I grew up. You
that
know?
Is the truth.
Yeah.
We actually were just talking about that earlier.
We were all on the same page here.
We were cooking our chili. Yes. Several of these conversations were just taking place between Jen and I.
We haven't even talked about your YouTube series with us. So tell us a little bit about that. In a short, brief moment, tell us about the YouTube series.
Sure. Finding our flavor is still developing different ways, but at its heart, what it is, it's going to be an opportunity, and I say this in the show, to surf the culinary shores of Myrtle Beach, going from the back rows to the beach and beyond, and reflecting the many different types of restaurants and the level of expertise we have in our chefs and what we have to offer on the Grand Strand. As I stated earlier, you know, people think of Myrtle Beach, and of course, it's the beach. You can't compete with the Atlantic Ocean on that level because it's God's beauty. However, still, we have, okay, what Charleston has. We have what New York has. And I can say it because I've been there and I know it, okay? I'll care what people say. Well, how dare she say that? You know, this is not Charleston, South Carolina. This is not New York. Oh, whatever. We got it here.
Yeah.
Now, you may have to search a little bit harder in some spots, but we have it here and it's growing. And the chefs we have here are chefs who come from all around the world. You said on the show, we got chefs who grew up in Albania, who grew up in Moldova, who are classically trained, uh-huh, who went to culinary. Some taught themselves, but the bottom line is that they can get down with the best of them, okay?
Yes.
Like James Brown was the father of Godfather of Soul. These people can cook on that high skill level of a chop judge, you know?
Yep.
And you have to give them their props. And the thing is that people find that surprising, but we have that here. So on my show, that's what I do in finding our flavor. We find out together where that flavor is, what it is, and why you should come and check it out.
Yeah, and you'll be able to tune into that show on YouTube.
On YouTube.
The Myrtle Beach Eats channel.
Yes, ma'am.
Myrtle Beach Eats, as in EATS, Myrtle Beach Eats. So
that's right.
Check that one out. It's a good one.
Yes.
And you are the host of the whole thing.
I am the host.
Yes.
With a lot of great people working with me, including John here. So it's been a pleasure. And I mean, Visit Myrtle Beach has been so supportive of me doing that. So I'm so excited because it gives me a chance to grow as an on-air talent. But more importantly, it gives us the opportunity to showcase our beautiful community and our more than 2,000 restaurants.
Absolutely. And you're on your way to stardom, so there's you no are. Doubt
I try
about
to be
that.
A star. I'm just trying to, I just want to stay blessed and be in the midst of it. So I just want to be a light and be a blessing to people by, you know, smiling. Because my mom always taught me, she said, listen, I don't care who you're going to see, what you're going to do, always smile, because a smile can bless anybody.
Amen.
And you know what people are going through. So I always try to just spread joy, because life is too short.
It sure is.
You know, I don't have time for hateration. I just want to love on people and show people the love of Jesus and just let people know that, listen, I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through. If you like to eat, which we all do,
of course,
I can tell you some food that makes you happy. That's all I'm saying.
Love it. We'll have to make sure to post some of your favorite foods on our social media platforms.
Yes.
Sure.
For all of our
listeners. I would appreciate that, ladies. Thank you so much.
Yes. And once again, Chef Swap at the Beach, that's on Saturday nights on the Cooking Channel.
7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time.
Exactly. Yep, that prime time spot. So check it out.
Yes,
please do.
You know what? Let's have you back when season 2 comes out.
Yes.
Please, if we have a season 2, please have me back.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much for
thank
joining
us. Thank you, Shannon.
Us.
Thank you, Jen. This was so much fun.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
It was our pleasure, for sure.
So for all of our listeners out there, if you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, email us at MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com. That's MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com.
And hit us up on Facebook and Instagram at Myrtle Moms with Margs. Again, at Myrtle Moms with Margs, Instagram, Facebook. You can also check out the Chef Swap. The Chef Swap at the Beach has their own Instagram and Facebook page. So go check those out as well. And don't forget, please give us 5 stars and give us a little thumbs up review on our podcast, because we're having fun doing it and we hope that it comes across that way. And we want to hear your love and support for our podcast as well.
Yes, please do. And I do have to mention, probably the next time that you will hear from us will be when baby Nolan will be here. So please keep Jen and her family in your thoughts and prayers. We're so excited to meet Nolan. So with that being said, cheers to us moms.
Yes.
Thank you.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is the beach. Here, you're free to be your best self. Because Myrtle Beach is 60 miles made for you. You belong at the beach.
Beach easy.